because Jesus could see into his heart. He knew the young man's problem was his love of money. After declaring his obedience to the commandments, the man probably thought Jesus would tell him his good behavior would earn him eternal life. Oh, dear ones, this is the same belief the majority of the world holds today. They think if they don't lie or cheat or steal, and they're a fairly good person, then they will one day go to heaven because they've earned their way.
Welcome to Your Place of Grace with Evangelist Anthony Sluzes. We're taking the message of salvation, Holy Spirit renewal, and healing through the finished work of Christ to the world by every available means. If you'd like more information about Your Place of Grace Ministries and our resources, visit yourplaceofgrace.com.
Well, hey there, everybody. This is Anthony Sluzes, and I thank you for listening to Your Place of Grace podcast. I pray that what we say here is a blessing to you today. We're talking about a particular subject matter today that this statement was made to me numerous times over the years when I pastored and even as an evangelist. And that's 26 years now in the ministry. And I've heard lots of people say this statement. See if it sounds familiar to you. Tony, man, I just feel like something's missing. I just feel like something's missing in my life. Well, let me ask you something. If you could change anything in your life, what would it be? You know, feelings of dissatisfaction or emptiness are usually what motivate us to desire a change in our life. Maybe we think better health, or increased income, a different job, or a new relationship is the answer. Or maybe we can't quite figure out what's causing these feelings, but we know that something is missing in our lives. Changing our circumstances is a short-lived solution, because the empty place in our souls can only be filled by God. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27, tells us a story about a man who knew something was missing in his life. So he ran to Jesus, knelt down before him, and asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, you can have it all, dear one, yet still feel like something is missing. So the young man in this story had everything the world values. He had wealth, youth, possessions, position, and authority. Now, there's nothing wrong with having any of these, but ultimately they cannot fully satisfy. God made us for himself, to have a relationship with him through his Son. This means he is the only one who can fill the empty places in our lives. Accumulating more material goodies and achieving greater success will never make us feel complete. We should be grateful for whatever the Lord gives us, but our love is to be directed toward him, not toward the things of this earthly life. Our love for material possessions can cause us to miss the most important thing in life. Although money is good and useful in the right hands, it can never buy what we need most. to spend the days, months, and years of our lives in a quest for riches, possessions, and prominence will only leave us disappointed. Because one day, we will have to lay it all down. There is more to life than this temporary earthly existence. Our most important possession is eternal life. That's why the rich young ruler came to Jesus. He had all the earthly possessions and stuff and goodies and achievements that he wanted, but he knew he needed one more thing: eternal life. The fact that he ran to Jesus shows his sense of desperation. Running in public was something men of dignity never did in those days. Unlike this rich young ruler, multitudes of people today live in big houses in nice neighborhoods with an abundance of material goods, never realizing their need for eternal life. Others feel the emptiness, but attempt to fill it with the pleasures and pursuits of the world. And some people are running away from the Lord rather than to him, denying their need for a Savior. And they forget that death comes to all men and women, and after that is the judgment. The gift of eternal life is not the result of our good works. No, no, no. Although the young ruler knew he needed eternal life, he made the faulty assumption that he had to do something to earn it. After coming to Jesus, he asked, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Christ responded by reminding him that of the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. Oh, the man claimed that he had kept all of these since his youth. However, Jesus didn't mention all the commandments. He omitted the first four, which speak about loving and worshiping God alone, and the last one, which forbids coveting. Because Jesus could see into his heart, he knew the young man's problem was his love of money. After declaring his obedience to the commandments, the man probably thought Jesus would tell him his good behavior would earn him eternal life. Oh, dear ones, this is the same belief the majority of the world holds today. They think if they don't lie or cheat or steal, and they're a fairly good person, then they will one day go to heaven because they've earned their way. What a fallacy that is. The Bible clearly states that we are not saved by good works, but by grace alone, through faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us at the cross. That's how one is saved. Instead of commending the young man for his good behavior, Jesus pointed out the one thing he still lacked. Jesus said, "Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Now, Christ wasn't saying that giving away all earthly possessions is a requirement for eternal life. No, rather he was trying to help the young man see his sin of greed and recognize that his material wealth was standing between him and salvation. Christ was asking this young man to relinquish his idol, surrender his life, and follow him. The young man's problem wasn't that he owned much. but that he was owned by much. The only way he would be able to follow Jesus was to lay down the riches which had held him in their grip. Sadly, although he found the answer to eternal life, he turned it down. He gave up eternal life. He gave it up in order to hold on to that which he would never be able to keep. Although he ran to Jesus in hope, he walked away from Jesus, grieved, being deceived by his own wealth. Oh, dear ones, Jesus loves us even when we make wrong choices. Christ's interaction with this young man was motivated by his love for him. He saw his problem, gave him the solution, and invited the young man to follow him. After he walked away, Jesus told his disciples how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. The rich young man rejected Christ's offer of salvation for three reasons. First of all, because of unbelief. He could not accept what Jesus said or entrust his future into the Lord's hands. He wouldn't. He rejected Christ's offer of salvation because of his own self-righteousness. The young man trusted in his own so-called goodness as the means for God's acceptance. But the Bible says that all of our so-called righteousness is in the eyes of God as filthy rags. And then thirdly, the rich young man rejected Christ's offer of salvation because of his love, the young man's love of this world and the world system. He would not let go of his wealth and possessions, his stuff, in order to follow Christ. Jesus acknowledges that it is very difficult for the wealthy to enter heaven. He compared it to a camel going through the eye of a needle. Oh, dear ones, it's not wrong to have money, but it's wrong for money to have you. You see, riches give a false sense of security that hinders people from seeing their need for a Savior. But with God, all things are possible. And Christ's shed blood provides the way for everyone, I mean everyone who trusts in Jesus, to be saved and to receive eternal life. Praise God. Some of you listening today do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You may have gone to church. You may go to church now. But if I were to ask you, do you know that if you were to die today, do you know for certain that heaven would be your eternal home? If you cannot answer that question with a yes, or if you have to think about it for a long period of time, or if you just don't know the answer, then you must be born again. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me." You may be there right now thinking, "Well, how do I give my heart to Jesus? How do I do this? I've heard of being born again, but how is one born again?" Listen to me. It's so simple and so profound at the same time. Romans 10, verse 9 says, "If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved." Praise God, dear one. So here is how you can receive Jesus Christ right now as your personal Savior and Lord. First of all, you need to admit your need. You need to admit, "Yes, Lord, I am a sinner." Secondly, you must be willing to turn from your sins. That's what the word repentance means. Being willing to turn away from your sins and ask for God's forgiveness. Thirdly, you need to believe that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross, bearing all of your guilt and shame, bearing all of your sins, past, present, and future, on that cross, bearing the punishment that you deserved. And you must believe that on the third day, he rose from the grave. And fourthly and finally, through prayer, you need to invite Jesus Christ to come in, to come into your heart, and control your life through his Holy Spirit. That's how you receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. I want you to pray with me right now. Pray this prayer. Pray it with all your heart and do it out loud. I don't care where you are. Pray it out loud. Dear God. That's right. Pray with me. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I want to turn from my sins. And I ask for your forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. I believe he died for my sins and that you raised him back to life. I want him to come into my heart and to take control of my life. I want to trust Jesus as my Savior and follow him as my Lord from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. Praise God. Praise God. Welcome to the family of God, dear one. This is the first and greatest step that you could have ever made. Praying to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, Lord, and friend. Praise God. Jesus said, when you do this, when a sinner turns from his ways and turns toward Jesus, towards God, that the angels in heaven rejoice over him or her. And the angels, dear one, are rejoicing over you right now. Yes, you've prayed this prayer. Now you need to continue walking with Jesus. You need to tell other people about this decision that you've made to receive him as your Savior and Lord today. Tell others. Many will applaud you. Many will cry with you and hug on you, love on you. Others will make fun of you. That's okay. But you are a member of the kingdom of God. You are a child of the King. And the Bible says that right now, all of your sins are gone. Your past is behind you. And behold, all things before you have become new. And all things are now of God. Praise God. Contact me if you've prayed this prayer with me. And I will be happy to rejoice with you, to pray over you, and to send you some free resources to get you started in your walk with Christ. I'll send them to you free, postage paid. Just contact me through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com, and say, Tony, man, I prayed that prayer with you. Jesus is my Savior and Lord, and I want the world to know. And dear one, I will rejoice with you. Find a good church. Get plugged into a good church and get involved. Become part of the family of God and make a difference in this life. Make a difference in changing your world with the love of Christ. Praise God. I have a relatively new book out. It came out a couple months ago. It's called The Forgiving Heart. And if there's anything this world needs right now, it's love and a forgiving heart. So get a copy of The Forgiving Heart by Anthony Slusis at Amazon.com. It's in paperback and in Kindle, in ebook format, and or get it through my website, yourplaceofgrace.com. Thank you for listening today. Pastors, I would love to come and speak in your church. We speak all over the United States of America, from Oregon to Florida and points in between. And lots of people are making decisions for Christ. Some are being healed, others being delivered of substance abuse, of addictions, bondages. Others are receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Go to my website and look at the testimonials page, pastors. And I would love to partner with you as a friend, as a partner in the gospel, and minister at your church and in your community. And we'll give God all the glory, honor, and praise. And until we meet again, everybody, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you and always have a smiling countenance toward you. And may he give you peace, protection, prosperity, joy unspeakable and full of glory, laughter and unconditional love within your marriage, family, and home. And may he grant you great favor everywhere you step foot, all the days of your long, long life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Thank you so much for listening to Your Place of Grace with Anthony Sluzes. We trust the podcast was a blessing to you. If you'd like more information about our ministry, resources, testimonials, and to schedule Anthony to speak at your event, go to yourplaceofgrace.com.